Father God, we just want to say that we love you this morning. God, we just want to say thank you for everything it is that you've done for us. Lord, for just being so good. And Father, I pray that you would help us as your followers not to take it for granted and not to just take lightly all the things that you've done for us. But God, I pray we would cherish it. God, I pray that we would use it as a reminder of how we should live for you daily and how we should give ourselves to you. Father, we just want to say thank you so much for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the sacrifice for our sins. Thank you for being so good to us, even when we don't deserve it. And Lord, we know around the world today there's a lot going on. Lord, we pray for the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. And Lord, you know that there's many other conflicts going on around the world. And so, God, we pray for those things. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ across the world who aren't able to gather like we're doing right now. Father, we pray for the people right here in our community who just chose not to be here this morning. Lord, we know that there's a great work that needs to be done among us, and God, I pray that you would just speak into the hearts and lives of people, not only here, but across the world. God, I pray that you would wake us up and you would help us to realize how much we truly need you today. God, how much we've always needed you. Father, as we get ready to read your word, I pray that you would speak into our hearts and lives, and God, that you would help us to apply it. Lord, not to just read it and forget about it, but Lord, to take it with us and use it as we live every day for you. Lord, we love you. We just ask all of this in the precious, holy, and beautiful name of Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, it is good to see everybody today on such a rainy day. And last week we emphasized that your being was the first and foremost thing that you needed to do and accomplish in regards to putting your faith in motion. Actually, it's not about doing anything, but it's just about being, belonging to God, being His. That's huge. When it comes to serving the Lord, doing things in His name, it is so important to belong to God, to be holy, to be righteous. And we got to see that with Noah. From the very beginning, that basically the only thing that Noah did was be righteous. He wasn't doing anything special. You remember, like, there was no evidence of him ever building boats before this. This wasn't a Noah had all these great talents, so therefore God called him to do this because he had the talents. All Noah did was be righteous and be faithful to the Lord. And I want to encourage you today because I want you to understand that I asked you to raise your hand last week if you wanted to do something great for the Lord. Anybody want to do something great for the Lord? If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you claim to be his follower, there should be a desire in your heart to say, yes, I want to do something great in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to see somebody get saved. I want to do something great and glorious for his name, to lead people. I want to see him in eternity one day. And when you stand before God in eternity, you don't want to just make it in by the skin of your teeth, but you want to be rewarded, right? You want to have crowns. You want to have jewels in those crowns, okay? Like, you want to go before the Lord and be rewarded for your service, for your acts of serving God in this world. And I want to tell you that the Lord is very picky about the people he calls to use to do great things in his name. You ever think about that? Take your own life, for example. How many of you have people in your life that you love, that you care for? Friends, family. Now, how many of you would send any of those people to represent you for something super important if it was life or death or the meaning of, like, the well-being of the rest of your life? Nobody? How many of you know of people right now that you would automatically just strike them off the list, that you wouldn't trust them to do that? Doesn't mean you don't love them, right? It doesn't mean you don't love them, but you're just not going to send them to go take care of some dire need because you're just not sure if it would ever get done or not. But there's probably someone in your life that you said, if I had to rely on someone to go and represent me, to be me, to make sure that this thing got done, this would be the person that I would ask. You think somebody? when it comes to the Lord, God has a plan. God is working out his plan. God is working and maneuvering in people and things around the world right now. And I want to tell you, it's not the simple fact that God does not want to use you. Many of you in here right now who have kids, you probably are sitting here thinking and you say, I wish I could trust all of my kids to do this one thing or to do something super important, but chances are you may not necessarily be able to trust every single one of your kids to do something super important that you needed to get done, because there's always that one that just, whatever, if I get it done, I'll get it done. You don't really care. And there's nothing sinful about that. But what I want you to see and understand is today is that God is picky about who he chooses to represent him. You with me? And when we're called to do something in the name of Jesus Christ, we are called to be a representative. If you're sitting here today and you claim faith in Jesus Christ, you are technically supposed to be a representative of him. But to do something in his name, to be called to do something significant, goes even above and beyond that, because you are called to be a representative of Christ and to do that job. And God wants to know that if he calls you, that he knows that you're going to be obedient and you're going to do exactly what he tells you to do, and he knows the job is going to get done. And he can't just call anybody to do that, because he needs people who are going to be obedient. And this is why doing comes after being. That's the title of our sermon today. A lot of us want to do. We want to be busy. We want something to do. We want to feel significant. We want to know that something that we do, or the reason why we go to church or serving God, is something meaningful and it matters. But I'm going to tell you today, doing comes after being. You're not going to be able to do anything in the name of Christ if you don't belong to Jesus Christ. If you're not righteous, if you're not who he's called you to be, you're not going to necessarily be called to be his. So doing comes after being. So let's look at Genesis chapter 6. Again, if you want something to read over the next several weeks, Genesis 6 through Genesis 9. You read those chapters. Keep reading them over and over and over again, because we're just going to be pulling some little tidbits out of that, out of those chapters. And we're going to focus on those things and use this to apply to our lives how we can better serve the Lord and be called to do what he's called us to do. So Genesis chapter 6, we're going to read one verse, the very last verse, verse 22. And it says, so Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him to do. Super important. And I told you last week, underline it, highlight it. If you didn't, underline it, highlight it this week. If you don't write in your Bible, make a note, get a napkin from the back or something to write it down. Noah did everything exactly as the Lord commanded him to do. And in Genesis 7, we're just skipping over to the next chapter, starting in verse 1. It says, when everything was ready, because this is what happens. When people are obedient and they do what God's called them to do, and he knows that he can trust Noah to be righteous and to do what he's called him to do, when everything was ready, things get done. You with me? Things get done when you're obedient and you honor God and you serve him, you do what he's called you to do, things get done. So when everything was ready, the Lord said to Noah, go into the boat with all your family, for among all the people of the earth, I can see that you alone are righteous. Underline it. Highlight it. Again, you see, the whole reason why God is using Noah to do all this is because of his righteousness. Not because of anything else, because Noah is righteous. He says, take with you your 7 pairs, male and female, of each animal I have approved for eating and for sacrifice, and take 1 pair of each of the others. Also take 7 pairs of every kind of bird. There must be a male and female in each pair to ensure that all life will survive on the earth after the flood. We've got some young people in here today, so I just want to remind you, you know, Noah's Ark is one of those stories from the Bible that gets kind of lost in the limbo between children's church and adulthood. It's kind of one of those things we forget about. And so when you ask people, well, how many animals were taken on the ark? They're going to say 2 of every kind. Yes, but no. You got to understand in this moment when you read this, just another little cool piece of information is that there were 7 pairs of all the animals that were approved for eating and for sacrifice that were also taken on the ark. So there were multiples of those. And even before the law of Moses was given, there was already this understanding of what was expected of people who served God, that there were certain things that you could eat, and they were approved by God, and there were certain things that were supposed to be offered for sacrifice, approved by God, and they were already making accommodations in the story of Noah in Genesis 7 that was going to precede the law of Moses that was to come. You with me today? And so there's this understanding in our life. If we want to have this relationship with God, if we want to have righteousness, if we want to belong to God, there's this understanding of obedience that needs to take place in our life that Noah was willing to do every little detail. From the things that he ate to the things that he sacrificed to all the instructions that he was willing to obey, Noah was going above and beyond to do everything exactly as God called him to do. And in verse 4 it says, 7 days from now, I will make the rains pour down on the earth, and it will rain for 40 days and 40 nights until I have wiped from the earth all the living things I have created. So Noah did everything as the Lord commanded him. Underline it. Highlight it. Write it down. There's a commonality that you see right here in Scripture where Noah continues to do everything just as God commanded him to do. He was obedient. And in verse 6, Noah was 600 years old when the flood covered the earth. So point number one, if you want to do something in the name of the Lord, we're talking about doing today. If you want to be called, if you want to do something, if you want to witness to people, you want to serve in the church, you want to serve other people in the name of Jesus Christ, if you want to do something, you need to understand that doing has everything with obedience. And so the sermon really isn't about doing. The sermon is about being obedient today. Because if you're not obedient, you're not going to be called to do anything. You with me? Now, you may be sitting here today, and you may call yourself a Christian, and you may be under the umbrella of God's grace, mercy, and love, but it does not necessarily mean that you are going to be called to do something in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's talk about it for a second. Abraham, the man of greatest faith, from Genesis 12 on, the Bible is centered around his faith and the people of Israel who are covered underneath the umbrella of Abraham's faith and his faithfulness, right? And so they're not necessarily have the same faith as Abraham, but they're covered underneath his faith. Noah's sons and his sons' wives and his own wife. Noah was the only person on earth righteous. That's why I said underline it. In verse 1 of chapter 7, I can see that you alone are righteous from all the people of the earth, but his sons and his sons' wives were covered underneath the umbrella of Abraham's righteousness. I'm sorry, Noah's righteousness. You with me today? So you believe in Jesus Christ, and you may be under the umbrella of his grace and mercy in your belief in him, but if you're not being obedient to him, don't be surprised if you don't feel like there's not a calling that God has placed on your life to do anything significant in his name. Because God is picky. And he's not just going to call any Yahoo to go and represent him, right? Because you wouldn't do it, right? You wouldn't just allow somebody to go make a business deal for you that might ruin the rest of your life. You wouldn't allow just anybody to go make sure that your children were taken care of if their life hung in the balance to make sure that it got done, right? And so God is not going to call people who just claim to be his, who are covered underneath that umbrella, if they're not being truly obedient in every aspect of their life. Obedience has everything to do with you doing something in the name of Jesus Christ. And in fact, God will not only not call you, but there could be some of us in here today who have been called, and God will uncall you. You say, James, that doesn't make sense. What are you talking about? First passage I thought of was 1 Samuel chapter 15. And in this moment, King Saul is leading the people of Israel, the army of Israel. He's about to fight this battle, right? I mean, now that Russia and Ukraine are at it, you know, war's kind of on the mind. So I want you to think and picture in this moment, you have your army, and you're sitting here, and you're just waiting, and you see the other army out there, and as you're just having to sit there and wait, because this is what God has told you to do, you see all your soldiers beginning to flee and turn and run. The ground is literally crumbling from underneath your feet, and yet God has said, stay and wait until Samuel shows up. And after a while, after enough soldiers begin to run away, Saul looks around and he says, look, Samuel's not going to show up. I don't know where he is, but we're losing our army. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to offer the sacrifice, and then we're going to go to battle. And I want you to think about this. Is offering a sacrifice a sinful thing? No. Was Saul sinning against the Lord in this moment? It could be debated. But it's not a matter of this moment that we're talking about sin, because obedience doesn't just have to deal with sin. We've talked about this so many times over the past several weeks with us. Like, as Christians in America, we focus on sin. Not sinning is important. You shouldn't sin. But it's not the whole aspect of your relationship with Christ. Actually, it's a small part. You're called to be obedient in all things. And so doing something like offering a sacrifice may not necessarily be sinful, but if God tells you not to and to wait, you're supposed to wait. And so after Saul offers the sacrifice, guess who shows up immediately after he offers it? Boom, it's almost like he just appears out of nowhere and he says, I'm here. Saul explains what he did. It's a very rational reason, right? I mean, it just made sense. We're going to do this. We're going to honor the Lord before we go to battle. It seems very rational from a worldly perspective. But Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Now, I want you to think about that. Burnt offerings and sacrifices, what was written in the law, what they were supposed to be doing, right? I mean, it was part of God's law. Or your obedience to his voice. Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. You with me this morning? I want you to understand this, because this is super important. As Christians, we have all these things in our life that we think, well, we're supposed to go to church, we're supposed to read our Bible, we're supposed to pray, we're supposed to do all. There's all these things that are expected of us, or we think that we're supposed to do as Christians, and all those things are good and beneficial, and I encourage you to do those things. You with me? But it is better for you to be obedient than to check all those things off your list. And what you see right here is Samuel is saying, and it's not just Samuel, because David talks about it later, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than going to the tabernacle or the temple and offering sacrifices. It's not just about what you're doing and trying to worship the Lord, but obedience, in fact, is an act of worship. And guess what? If you're obedient to the Lord in your life, you are worshiping God every day in your obedience, and not just at a certain time when you go somewhere to do a certain thing to check it off your list to say, yes, I'm a Christian because I do these things. Obedience is huge. And you say, well, James, you know, this is an Old Testament passage. The Old Testament's very rigid, very strict. I've been in church ministry since 2004. And I have witnessed other pastors falling prey to disobedience. And there's been times in my life where I have fell prey to disobedience in certain things. Not necessarily sin, but just disobedience in different ways. And can I tell you today that from watching other people and from even my own personal experience, disobedience creates a situation where you lose the ability to be able to do the things that God has called you to do. And there's some of you in here who knows people who were spiritual, or you know a pastor, you know somebody who you had a lot of respect for, and they made a mistake. And you may have forgiven them, and you may still love them, but their ability to influence you spiritually will never be the same, right? Because that's what happens. Especially a lot of pastors who are on TV or have a really big platform. They make mistakes and the whole world finds out about it. And all of a sudden their ability to witness and minister to people is diminished greatly because of their disobedience. And when you look at Saul right here, in this moment, in this same passage, is the same exact passage where God says, where Samuel tells Saul, he says, the Lord has rejected you as king and he's chosen another to take your place, a man after God's own heart. God wants obedience. Obedience is so important. And it takes faith to be obedient. And I always talk to the younger people because I remember being young and trying to decide, is it worth basing the next 50 to 70 years of my life on doing this, knowing that I'm going to miss out on some things that other people my age are going to get to do that I'm not going to get to do. So it's so much harder as a young person to make that. As an older person, you don't have as many years left, and so you're trying to prepare for the other aspect of life, eternal life, right? It's a little easier to make that decision. And so it takes faith to be obedient. It takes faith to stay there and watch your army run away while the ground crumbles underneath you. It takes faith to stay there and do what God has called you to do when it doesn't make sense to anyone else and you feel like you're going to be all alone. But remember, Noah was alone. For 600 years, he was alone. He was righteous. He was faithful for 600 years. You have to believe that your sacrifices are going to be worth it. Because it's going to take sacrifice to be obedient. You're not going to be able to do it and not have to sacrifice something. It's going to take sacrifice, and you have to believe that that's worth it. And you have to believe that that's one of your greatest aspects of worship. You know, Paul writes to the church in Philippi, and he's talking to the Christians, and he's giving them advice on what it means to be a Christian, what it means to serve God. And you look at verse 5 in Philippians chapter 2, and Paul writes, you must have the same attitude that Jesus had. We're Christians. That really means little Christ. We're supposed to be followers of Christ, setting the example of Christ, living in his example. Have the same attitude that Jesus had. Verse 6, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. And there's some of you, some of us in here today, some people we're going to watch, a lot of people around the world, who believe that we deserve something more, that we shouldn't have to do this, we shouldn't have to endure this, that Christianity shouldn't be this big thing, as long as we have faith, it should be fine. And I want to tell you guys, Jesus Christ, though he was God, did not cling to the ability to say that he was God. He did not consider it something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. Anybody in here believe you're better than Jesus Christ? No? You sure? We know it's the right answer to not to raise our hand, but Jesus gave up his divine privileges. There are some of you in your life, you have things in your life that you could have, but it doesn't mean that you're supposed to have them. Jesus could be calling you to give up certain privileges, things in your life. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. Don't fool yourself this morning. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you have not entered into a relationship of things and privileges and all this stuff that you should be deserving, but you've entered into a relationship of understanding that there's a world and a life of things that you could have that you should be giving up in the name of Jesus Christ. We're called to sacrifice, not to indulge. And it's not necessarily with sin, it's about everything in our life. Obedience in all things. You look at Jesus Christ, they should have placed him in the temple and worshiped him for the God that he was. But they hung him on a cross and they killed him. And if Jesus humbled himself and submitted himself to God's plan, how much more should you and I be humbling ourselves and submitting ourselves to God's plan so that God can call us to do great things in his name? We're called to be obedient just as Christ was obedient. Point number two, you got to belong to Christ in order to be obedient to him. If you don't belong to him, you're not going to be obedient to him. You're obedient to whatever it is or whoever it is that you belong. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus was speaking to his followers. He said, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. You will desire to obey whatever it is that you belong to. And you're sitting in here today, and maybe some of you, or you know someone in your family or somebody you're connected to, and there are people around us that belong to all kinds of things. Some people belong to their careers, their jobs. And there are some husbands, maybe, probably wives, there might be some husbands, who cannot understand why their spouse is so devoted to their career, and they're willing to go in early and stay late and work overtime and do this and go above and beyond for that, and they feel like they're being robbed by what their spouse is giving to their career or their job. And you just cannot comprehend why they give so much to that, but they won't give it to you. That's what they belong to, right? There's some people who belong to their spouses or their relationship. Many of you have probably had friends in your past that whenever they got a boyfriend or a girlfriend, all of a sudden they disappear. Their family doesn't matter anymore. Their friends doesn't matter anymore. They go and do everything, and they will do anything for this person in order to be with him because that's who they belong to. Hobbies, career, children. I remember a guy when I was coaching at Chesney, had a kid come through on the baseball team, and the kid, he was all right. He wasn't great. There's no way he was going to make it pro. But I remember this guy had a really good job, and he gave up his job to go work as a server in a restaurant because it was flexible hours so he could go and watch his kid play ball and be everywhere where his kid was because he belonged to that kid and he belonged to ball. And that's what he was faithful to. That's what he obeyed. Is ball sinful? Are kids sinful? Are jobs sinful? They can be. Because when we're not obedient to God and we become obedient to other things, that's what we belong to. They become idols in our life. Jesus knew and understood this well. He made several statements. He used several teaching examples to constantly talk about the disciples and his followers and who they belong to. Even up until the very end in John chapter 13, when Jesus is trying to wash his disciples' feet. Anybody ever been in a foot washing service in here? One? Couple? All right, a little older. I don't know about y'all. It is one of the weirdest things to ever participate in. Like, if you think some other things about church are weird, go to a foot washing service. It's on the upper end of weird. And I've been in them, and I'm telling you, it's one of the most, it's weird. It's kind of gross, too, because, like, you're dealing with feet. Like, I've washed other people's feet. Like, I don't get grossed out by stuff like that. But, it, you know, it's just kind of like, eh, it's weird. Like, it's more weird to me than anything. But it's even the concept of someone else touching my feet and washing my feet is so foreign. And when Jesus is looking at his disciples and he's going around, he's washing all 12 of his disciples' feet, again, another example of Jesus who could have clinged to his godliness and said, I'm God, you should be worshiping me, you should be washing my feet as my slaves, as my servants, as my followers. He humbled himself as the lowest position of a slave in that day and time, and he washed his disciples' feet. And he comes around to Peter in verse 8, and Peter says, no, you will never wash my feet. And you look at Jesus, he replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. Peter had followed him for 3 years. Peter had already proclaimed that he was the Messiah. Peter was already in, right? I mean, like he was bought into it. And Jesus is still saying, unless you allow me to wash you, you won't belong to me. And you're sitting here this morning, and it's so important for you to understand, for me to understand, that unless we humble ourselves, because it is a humbling thing to sit down and let someone wash your feet, whether you realize it or not, is super humbling. Now, if you expected somebody to just wash your feet, it's not that humbling. But if you don't expect it, it's weird and it's humbling. But Jesus had to wash Peter. He had to serve him. You with me today? He had to serve him. He had to care for him. He had to claim him in order for Peter to belong to him. Some of us are sitting here this morning and we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in him, but we don't belong to him. We've never let him in. We've never let him wash us. We've never let him impact us, change us, do anything intimate in our lives whatsoever. We believe, we come to church, we do all the things on the checklist that we're supposed to do. We go to the temple and we offer our sacrifices. You might even give a little bit of money, but you don't belong. That's what's scary. Because in order to belong, you have to humble yourself. You have to allow Jesus to work and move in you the way that Christ wants to move in you. Because if you keep following this passage of Scripture, Peter says, well, then wash all of me. If I'm going to belong to you and you want to wash me, wash all of me. And Jesus says, no, no, no. You're clean. You've had your bath, but your feet are dirty. Let me wash your feet. We cannot ask Jesus to do what we want Jesus to do. We have to be humble and submissive enough to allow Jesus to do what he wants to do. There's some of you in here, Jesus needs to wash your mind, not brainwash you. Don't go around telling everybody we're starting a cult at church, trying to brainwash people. He needs to wash your mind because your mind has thoughts in it. It has understandings that need to be washed clean. You need to have a mind of Christ. Some of you need your heart, your emotions, your body, just something about you needs to be washed, but you have to be humble enough to let Christ come in and wash the part of you that he wants to wash, not the part that you want to be washed. There's a lot of people who come to faith in Jesus Christ because they want Jesus to wash their financial status, or they want Jesus to wash their relationship status, or they want Jesus to do this, or they want Jesus to do that, and Jesus says, no, I want to wash you. I want to wash this in your life. And I don't even have to name anything because I guarantee you right now, if you have any notion of Jesus Christ whatsoever, there's something in your heart, in your mind right now that he's convicting you of right now that he says, I want to wash this in you. Are you going to let me wash it? Because if you don't let me wash it, you can't belong to me. You cannot be mine. And if you don't belong to me, you can't be obedient to me. If you're not going to be obedient to me, I can never call you to do what you're supposed to be called to do. Point number three, obedience does not just happen. It doesn't. You're not just going to wake up one day and just be obedient. It's not just going to click. It's not like this math problem in school where you just like don't understand it and all of a sudden one day it just clicks and now you get it. Obedience does not just happen. God did not look down at Noah and he didn't say, you know what? He looks like a nincompoop. He looks mindless. He looks easy to control. Let's call him. I bet he'll do exactly what we want him to do. That is not what God said. That is not what God thought. It's not what God did. You remember Noah for 600 years. 600 years. Burn this in your mind forever. For 600 years, he was faithful. When there was no consequences of sin that seemed to be apparent, when there was no difference in the life of everyone who was being evil in the eyes of God and being violent versus Noah who was being righteous, he was alone for 600 years. And he was faithful to the Lord. He was not a master nautical engineer. Up to this point, we don't even know if he ever built a boat. We don't even know if there was any boats at this point. He had no special skills. He was simply righteous. Why did God call Noah? Because he was righteous. Why did God know that Noah would do everything that he called him to do? Because he was righteous. He was obedient in all the little things, and therefore he knew that he could be trusted with even greater things. Obedience is something that comes with baby steps. You're sitting in here this morning, and you want to follow God, and you want to do something great in his name, and you want to belong to him, take baby steps. It starts with the small. It starts with the smallest things. Noah did this in his life. He lived a life of obedience for 600 years. And because he was willing to do it for 600 years, God knew that he would be obedient in the big things. And don't get discouraged because some of you are young. and you don't feel like you're doing anything important or anything great. But Noah was 600 years old before God called him to do anything, right? I mean, that's like two-thirds of his life. I mean, I know people live to be 900 years old, but I mean, he's at two-thirds of his life is over at this point. The average age is around 80 years old. I mean, like 50, 60 years old is about the time that God would have called some of us to build the ark. How many of you 50-year-olds would love to build an ark over 100,000 square foot of space to float into the water at 50-something years old? I'm 37. I just got done building a house. I don't ever want to build a house again. You with me? Don't get impatient. Don't be like, nothing great's happening in my life. I don't feel like God's calling me to do anything. Take the baby steps. Be faithful in the small things. Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 11, Jesus is talking to his followers, and he says, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the riches of heaven? There's a hill that you have to climb in order to be entrusted to do the things that God has called you to do. Start with the small things. When you think no one sees you, that's when it's the most important. When you think no one's watching, that's when it's the most important. When you think no one's ever going to find out, that's when it's the most important. And when you think it's not that big of a deal, that's when it's the biggest deal. It's always the little things. God is allowing you to prove yourself in your life. When you look at the Ten Commandments, and one of the first ones you see when it comes to how we deal with people, honoring your father and mother. Some of you parents are like, thank you for saying that right now. Some of you kids are like, I don't want to hear that. Something as simple as being obedient to your parents. If you can't be obedient to your mom and dad, how in the world do you think you're going to be obedient to a God that you cannot see? It starts with the little things. Everything about your life is leading up to the point of God calling you to serve Him and follow Him and to do something great in His name. And if you're not being obedient, you're not going to be called. And I'm telling you, I believe with all of my heart this morning that there's not a person who has ever walked on this earth and breathed that did not have a special calling from God to do something specific or to reach someone specific in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe that with my whole heart. The whole issue is whether or not we're being obedient enough for God to call us and for us to be allowed to be used by God, to humble ourselves and let Him use us the way that He wants to. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. A lot of people claim faith in Jesus Christ. A lot of people claim to believe. A lot of people will tell you that they belong to Jesus. But in verse 3 it says, and we can be sure that we know Him if we obey His commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love Him. What you belong to, what you love, where your treasure is, that's what you're going to be obedient to. That is how we know we are living in Him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Jesus sacrificed, He gave Himself up, He denied His rights and privileges as God and took on the humble position as a slave and died a criminal's death. So welcome to Christianity. Welcome to giving yourself up and sacrificing so that you can serve God. Because if you want to do something in His name, you've got to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. You got to be obedient. You got to be willing to give up yourself in order to do the will of God. So the question is, how obedient are you? Or maybe we should just get down to the root of the problem and say, what do you belong to? Or who do you belong to? If you don't belong to Jesus, you're not going to be obedient. And if you're not obedient, you're not going to be called. And like I said earlier, I believe with all of my heart that there's not a single person that draws breath in this room or in this world, for that matter, that God does not have a special plan for you. That God does not have at least one person for you to reach in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe that with my whole heart. If that weren't true, you'd already be dead and gone. God has a purpose and a plan for you. He has something for you to do. And if you don't feel like you're being called, don't focus on not being called. Focus on belonging to Jesus Christ and being obedient to Him. And the calling will come when it's time. Because Noah was righteous for 600 years. His life for 600 years. And God finally called him to do what He had for him to do. Don't think that it's too old, your life is over, you can't do anything now. It has nothing to do with age, it has nothing to do with talents, nothing to do with abilities. I promise you, whatever it is that God has for you, even if you don't think you have the skill set, God will give you the skill set. You look at every single person God ever called. Noah probably had never built a boat in his life, and he built an ark over 100,000 square feet. I forget how many cubic tons of water it displaced. I mean, it's ridiculous. I'll have those numbers for you in a few weeks. Ridiculous proportions. There was never a boat ever built as big as that until the 1800s. He held the world record for thousands of years. Had never built a boat before in his life. David was chosen to be the next king because he is a man after God's own heart. The least in his family, he was the shepherd, the lowest position in the home. Gideon, the smallest tribe, the least in his family, chosen to lead the armies of God. Moses was not an eloquent speaker, was chosen by God to go and speak to Pharaoh. You look at Scripture time and time and time and time and time and time again, everybody that God calls was not qualified, was not talented, did not have natural abilities to do it, but when God called them, it was His timing, when they were being obedient, when they were doing what God was calling them to do, and God called them and gave them the ability to do what He had called them to do. Don't worry about your talents. Don't worry about your abilities. Whatever God has called you to do, He'll provide a way. Because through Christ, all things are possible. You're sitting here this morning, I'm telling you, you have a calling on your life. You have something that God wants to do in you, something that God wants to do through you, and you have at least one person in this world that He wants you to reach in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't cheat yourself out of that. You got to belong to God. You got to be obedient to Him. And when the time is right, He will call you when He's ready. But the question is whether or not you'll be ready. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for this day. God, thank You for the opportunity to gather together. Lord, I pray as we read Your word that You would not let us leave this place ignoring it or making light of it, but God, You would help us to take it and apply it and remind ourselves that, God, we should belong to You. Our greatest desire should be to be obedient to You. And Lord, obedience is not just about not sinning, but God, when we belong to You and we're obedient, sin won't even be a problem. God, we will run from sin if we belong to You because we will know what it does and the consequences of it, and we will know that You have something so much better for us. Father, help us to take the steps, the small steps, to be faithful in the little things. God, when no one's watching, when we think no one will ever find out, Lord, when everything is happening, God, I pray that You would help us to be faithful in the little things so that when the day comes to do something big, we will be ready and You will be able to call us. Lord, we love You today and we thank You for this time and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.